Hello, it's me again. It's been a wee while, and this is my summer podcast, he said jokingly, from the van. I've taken Van away, and Heather, me and the wife have come away in the van. Heather's away for a walk. Let me explain to you a couple of rudiments of van. Now, when you get yourself a camper van, you can go either go wild camping, which is great fun, except if you don't have a toilet, you know, it becomes an issue. You're in the bushes near the nettles, waiting for the creepy crawlies while you're having a pee-pee. Is it a pee-pee or a poo or a God knows what? Whatever you do in the bushes. I'm always terrified that I'm going to go for a pee in the bushes. I'm going to get there, I'm going to get my bits out, I'm going to be ready to have a pee, and I've stumbled across a dogger, a dogging site. Now, I used to believe that when somebody said dogging, well, that truly innocently was, I thought, dogging, is that where you take your dog and stuff? And somebody had to explain to me, and I usually think I'm quite worldly, that actually dogging meant that you had strangers drove up a car and had sex with a strange woman in a car park. So I'm now terrified. I used to be terrified when I was on trains. If I went to the toilet and I was like needing the toilet on a train, that I'd be halfway through my business. See, I had to go and do the really, really bad stuff on the train, like not a number one, a number two. See, I was sitting there with my trousers at my ankles in the train and missed a junction, crashed. Everybody was killed, including me. and I would be found. I'd be found on the railway tracks, dead as a doorknob, with my trousers at my ankles. I just don't think that would be a fitting end. So I used to be terrified of going to... I would try to be really quick if I went to the toilet on a train. I never liked it anyway, but I mean, it does. But I was always terrified that the train might crash. Now, back to wild camping. As a strategy that you do have to basically plan where you're going to go for a poo or a pee or whatever, or whatever. Shower or something, what are you talking about, Jimmy? You're going to have to go and do your business at some point. The great thing is to discover if you're anywhere where you're near a shopping centre, at least you can nip into Tesco's and pretend to buy a bar of chocolate or something, a pint of milk, and use their stuff. Or a pub, you can go and have a pint in a pub and rush to the bathroom and do all your stuff. In fact, wouldn't it be the first time that I've went into a pub on the guise of wanting a beer, but actually wanting to go in there and wash my face, brush my teeth, and almost have a body wash. That's not been beyond me before. However, if like me, you've got an impairment, nigh your disability, it means you have a thing called a radar key. I have a radar key in a van. It's a very special key, and there's these special toilets about. I think I've spoken about these before. And you get to use them. There's not a shower. Some of them are fabulous. I mean, there's not a shower in them. There's a bathroom, if you like, a toilet. But there's changing tables and stuff like that, and there's heating in some of them. Some of them are like special hotel rooms. They're not like they kind of they're going to a public toilet and you discover it's like the scene from Taggart or something. They should have tape ups. It looks like there's been a murder. There's been a murder in the toilet, and you never want to go into public toilets. I don't know about you. The worst public toilet I ever found was years ago. I don't know where I'm going with this, but years ago, me and Heather, this is before the van, we were driving, in the first throes of our love, when we were going to have romantic getaways, I decided to drive up north. I went to York, I took Heather to York, and I went to Chester. And Chester was horrific. And I thought, we'll move on. We stayed the night and it was absolutely terrible. You could hear the prostitutes dragging the men up, drunken men up the stairs. It was a pub with rooms, and you could hear the prostitutes dragging the toms upstairs, or their clients upstairs. Let's be sensitive about this. To the other rooms, there'd be fumbling and squeakings of beds and groaning and God knows what. And it was horrific. It was a horrific scene. And there was a taxi rank outside in a kebab shop, so... in this sort of pub hotel come thing in Chester, the whole night was a nightmare. You just get no sleep. And by the way, you had to share, and I know where I'm going with this now, you had to share the toilet with the prostitutes and their clients. There was only one toilet on the landing and a bath And if you're in there and there'll be somebody rattling the door, and you're in there trying to have a wash or something, brush your teeth, there'll be some guy trying to rattle the door, obviously to nip in, give himself a wee wash and put his condoms on. And so it wasn't exactly a romantic getaway in Chester. So we decided to give up. And the only thing good about Chester was I saw the clock that you see that you see on that TV show. Chester has quite a famous clock. And so we drove off and we ended up in Wales. For some strange reason, we ended up in Wales and just kept driving. And we ended up in Rhyl. And when we got to Rhyl, a typical seaside thing where you think there's going to be caravans and blah, 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 we needed the bathroom, needed the toilet. And we ended up in what I consider to be the worst public toilet in the universe in Rhyl. We went into this public toilet, and honest to God, it was like people had exploded in this public toilet. It was absolutely horrific. And of course, there's all these telephone numbers for meeting up with folk and having sex or illicit, kind of, long before dogging, I think. And you just think, Jesus Christ. Or people would write on things on the wall and tell you who had a big cock. You're like, yeah, that's all I need to know while I'm in here. And it looks like people have exploded and you just want to escape. It was the worst experience of my life. So I try and avoid these things by trying to get to a campsite where there's a plush, accessible toilets, a laundry, a shower room, and a washing facility. And that's where I am just now. I've come all the way to Port Patrick in Stranraer, just outside Stranraer. It's very lovely. We set off and it was blazing sunshine in Edinburgh. Blazing sunshine all the way across the west. I've got from within 5 miles of Port Manantyne. And actually, this fog fell down. It was like a Hammer horror movie. This fog descended on us. Oh, there's a car going past. I mean, I try and do this stuff. There's always a car goes past and gets in my podcast. But I'm keeping it in because it's a bit of colour. Well, as I say, we got from within 5 miles of Port Manantyne. And this fog descended, an absolute, you know, you couldn't see in front of your eyes. It was murder. And then, of course, we're heading for Port Manantyne, and what happens is Google decides to send us down the smallest roads in the world. I never thought we were going to make it here alive. But now we're here, and we're settled, and I've cleaned, and I'm watching all life go past me in the caravan site. Now, look at when you're in a caravan site. Now, firstly, I've got two disclaimers to make. In the early part of this podcast, I mentioned a toilet in Rhyl. My wife came back to the camper van there and called me a liar when I replayed the my first attempt at podcasting. And she goes, "You lied. We've been married for 25 years, and you lied. You liar, right?" And the lie is this. Is that actually, well, it's actually about the fact that you can't trust your memory. I mean, I think your memory just compresses stuff, and you think, I mean, I don't steal other people's lives, particularly at this moment. I think what actually happened was when we got to Rhyl, Heather went to the toilet first and came back with such a look of terror on her face that I refused to go, and she told me to describe to me, she reminded me, she described to me the horror inside this toilet, in this public toilet. So, I apologise for stating this fact, because I don't want that stuff. It happens. There's enough of that nonsense on the internet. I apologise for saying that I went to this toilet and I didn't. I actually was too scared. And secondly, I've noticed that I keep mentioning Port Manantyne because it's a place I quite like going. Port Manantyne's actually in Rossie. Where we were actually going is Port Patrick. Port Patrick is a couple of miles from Stranraer, and we're in Port Patrick. It's a beautiful place. It's a bit like it feels a bit like a movie set. It's that nice, and you can tell that there's some money there. There's people who have moved in, old hippies. I mean, we were in a shop, it was for Smells and Bells, and when we went to visit Port Manantyne, there's a famous pub there called The Crown, which my pal, one of my friends, plays in a band called The Life of Riley on every so often on a Saturday. And if you ever get a chance to go to The Crown, you should go and listen to them. They're a very good band from the local area called The Life of Riley. Now, one of the things that you notice in caravan sites is, yes, you might be sitting in your van thinking, oh, thank God I'm near the toilets and I'm near the shower units and I'm near the washing facilities. And I'm completely safe, although you have a wee sink in your van and stuff like that. You can see the people in the big fancy caravans saying to themselves, look at them in that tiny wee Japanese van. That tiny wee Japanese van. Couldn't he swing a cat? Apologies to my wee cat. Couldn't he swing a cat? That's right, darling. I'm doing this while I'm patting my cat. You couldn't swing a cat. And it's an unusual expression, isn't it? Who would swing their cat? Why don't you use a measuring tape? You know, swing a cat to measure your room. I don't understand what's going on right now. I don't understand that. And, anyway, so what you notice is, you think, yeah, yeah, you're better than me. You've got a big caravan, probably a bedroom, probably a sink, heating system, and a fancy telly all connected to it. And actually, every so often, every day, I've noticed a couple of them trundle down, and they have what looks like a kind of wheelie trolley that you've used in an airport that you would take your clothes on and put it on the kind of. You would put it through to be put on the plane, or you take it on the plane with you. A wee kind of shopping trolley-like thing. And what you discover is, yeah, you're very posh, but every couple of days you've got to take your poo out of your caravan in that wee suitcase and take it down to some place where, with for all your class, you have to open a cork and pour it down a drain and suffer the ignominy of facing stuff that you passed a couple of days before. Now, I don't want to sound anally retentive about this, but Jesus Christ, you know, you're not that posh, you know that, but everybody goes, even the Queen, or the King, as the case may be, as Charlie has recently ascended to kinghood, and they've kind of semi-deified him. What a hoot, Britain, tradition when it suits itself, the upper class. Anyway, so I'm on holiday with Heather, and one of the things that you notice, I like to go and visit the towns. Port Bannington was lovely, and we went to Stranraer. I wanted to see what Stranraer looked like, and Stranraer, because they've changed the ferry terminal to Cairn Ryan. Cairn Ryan, it's a Bruce says, going to Cairn Ryan. Since they've changed it to Cairn Ryan, Stranraer has literally dropped dead. And if you wanted an example of how the economic crisis is really biting, wander through some of these towns. Stranraer has actually died. I actually went to a bank. While I was away, I got a text from this is important so that you understand with your new technology. A couple of years ago, I bought a laptop, and with that laptop came a free antivirus from McAfee. McAfee should wear ski masks and carry a kosh. I cancelled it because I have other free internet things that guard my just as well, or I pay a couple of pounds for one that I put on. I don't like McAfee. It's a virus itself, as far as I'm concerned. 2 years ago, it had a 2-year thing, an enforced software program that you don't want on your laptop that you paid loads of money for. And now you can't choose, because they put it on your laptop. And I cancelled it all 2 years ago, only to receive a bill or an email telling me that McAfee was taking £109 off me while I'm on holiday for my new McAfee antivirus, which I don't have, which I've removed from my laptop. So eventually what happened was, I managed to get through to my bank because I was concerned it was a fraud, because I hadn't instantly thought, oh God, that's about my laptop, because I don't have it on anything. And eventually, after a couple of hours of fighting back and forth, because the internet connection was back and forth, and the bank were absolutely no use whatsoever about stopping the payment, they took the money off me. I eventually got to on to McAfee and spoke to them on the phone after a very kind of tense couple of hours, and they basically strong arm rent, he'll given him 60 quid of the 109 pounds and given me 40 odd quid back. 65 quid actually. And given me 40 quid back for a year subscription, and they turned off. And here's the important thing you need to check if you've got any software, particularly Microsoft Office, and because you can get free Office. I'm not a fan now of this auto update, auto renewal that you don't spot until you go into your system settings and you realise it's got an auto renewal, which will take money out of your bank account whether you like the program or not, because you've not found the auto renewal switch off. So that's a wee warning to everybody. In fact, I would advise you right now, because I did this with an old laptop. I had Windows 7, and I'll tell you about Windows 7 in a minute, because I'll finish this, because I always, you know, I'm a bit scattergun. So anyway, I'm dealing with McAfee, and the guy's really nice about it, but they're taking 65 quid of me. I think anything to get out of the contract, for God's sake, help me, right? So he does it, and I'm happy, right? 40 minutes later, and I'm in the camper van, and I get a phone call. And I get a phone call from this guy. I think he said his name was Dave. He had a really strong Asian accent, and it came up in my phone as a London number. And my phone, thank God for Samsung, said possible scam. And I answered the phone, and he said, "Hello, it's and I'm not going to do a terrible Indian accent. I don't care who accuses me of being racist, because this is about a thief, right?" So he goes, "Hello, is that Mr. McSharry?" I said, "Yes, it is. What is it?" "Well, this is McAfee security here. We believe you've been attacked, but you've had several attempts to get into the into McAfee homepage." And of course I did. They must have some software, right? But I realised, I think, wait a minute, McAfee have just been off the phone 40 minutes ago. So I'm like, "Listen, I just gave you 60 quid at first, right?" He's going, no, that's not what I want to talk to you about. If you let me take control," he literally said, "if you let me take control, I can explain to you what's happened." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, there's been many attempts at accessing your McAfee. We've spotted this." And then, "No, let me explain." I said, "No, let me explain. I'm fed up being pushed around, pissed around, and I'm fed up and stuff like that. I'm putting the phone down now." And it's halfway through, he's kind of blah, blah, "I'll just put the phone down." So that's a warning. Here's McAfee gangsters robbing me of 65 quid. They can't even protect me online from guys using software that detects on their site every time you've tried to access it. They must have some AI thing that accesses when people have and somebody's sold your number somewhere online, because we've had loads of these fake phone calls at the house for various companies and stuff like that. And it's a thing that we don't realise when we're signing up for software, or even on your phone, even an app, that actually, if you read the small print in these things, they actually say that they'll share your details. And they don't share your details, they sell your details, they sell your info to companies and guys on the black, and ends up on the black internet, or whatever it's called, the black web. You get wee rat bags like Dave phoning you up, pretending to be from McAfee, and so I basically told him to beat it, right? Told Dave to beat it. I should have written to McAfee and said, "Hey, what's going on?" But I wasn't in the mood. But Dave can beat it, and I've reported him to the frauds thing. So be very wary when you get these things from your so-called antivirus protection company. They're as protectable as paper underpants, because 40 minutes after I've given them 65 quid, these guys are on. So they're not even protecting their own site from getting hacked about access. Jesus, you could make it up. Anyway, enough of that grumble, right? So what I'm going to say to you is, another thing that I did, because I'm fed up with Microsoft, although I have it and I deal with it. I like the good old days when you could operate and learn software and play with stuff and edit photos and be innocent and stuff like that. Now they're like, you're paying 70 quid a year for your Office. So I thought, bugger this, I'm fed up with this kind of carry on. And by the way, it's on auto-renew. I'm fed up with this auto-renew stuff, right? Because it's a couple of hundred quid, by the way. It's you're spanked for various things. It's a couple of hundred quid on each thing, right? When it all mounts up. So I thought I'll investigate a thing called Linux. And Linux is a free program. So I went and bought a book on kind of Linux, how to install Linux, blah, 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 Linux for idiots like me. And I've actually installed it on half my laptop, my older laptop that has Windows, and it runs like a dream. And yeah, you've got all these other programs. You've got other programs you can download for free, and basically they work just the same as Office, just the same as Photo, just the same as playing your MP3 player. But most people at my age, people over 50, well over 50, don't know or just consider that a laptop is like a telly. You just turn it on and it does stuff. But actually what you should do is teach yourself a bit of software, learn how software operates, learn where your settings are and switch them off so these ratbags can't extort money out of you. Now, I don't know why maybe that's why I'm mainly retentive, is I went from going to the toilet to complaining about software taking money off me that I don't want to give them. I wonder how that works. Now, one of the things about being on holiday with your camper van is you get to visit different places. And I, years and years and years ago, even in the 70s, with the Boy Scouts, we were staying in Stranraer somewhere on a field, catching lice, getting nits off each other and kind of mostly sitting in the rain, listening to the rain, getting soaked and shivering in our non-thermo sleeping bags and getting each other nits and the odd bivouac on singing songs round a campfire as we ate toys and mints. That's what I remember of it. Except for one thing, they took us to a local, Stranraer had a local, it was obviously owned by a farmer. My memory of it is it was near a farm. But it was a separate swimming bath. It wasn't a fancy thing. It was a hut with a kind of a swimming bath, a swimming pool third the size, just in this hut. And I was saying to Heather, yeah, I used to come to Wigton, and I wanted to go because, as you know, it's the book capital of Scotland. They have a book festival, so we get in the van and we travel to Wigton, and we discover there's nothing in Wigton except bookshops, and they know how to charge you, even for second-hand books from the 60s and stuff like that, and nice wee tea rooms. I think the average age is about 195, and every shop smells of dampness. That's my lasting kind of memory of today, of this week, of Wigton. Everything smells of dampness. And when I was a kid and we went there, we went swimming in this, as I say, we went swimming in this pool in between getting each other nits and sitting freezing in the tent with your non-thermo sleeping bag. And I happened to go by a shop window. And there it was. This thing exists, still exists. This swimming bath in a field exists somewhere. And you can hire it. You can hire it for nights out. You can hire it for nights out at parties for swimming and groups for swimming. It's privately owned and you can give the guy more than a couple of bob, I think, because it's Wigton, and what do you call it, you can go for a swim in Wigton in that same wee pool. So it still exists. So the only thing that's no changed is the fact that it has a mysteriously privately owned swimming pool somewhere in a field. And so that was my experience of Wigton, and it looked like a town that I'd seen, like all these towns. You get a sense that maybe in the 70s and the 80s, they had been very popular, particularly in the 70s, because not a lot of people had cars, so you went on bus trips, and you go to Wigton, you go to Stranraer. In fact, on the way back, we spent the night in Girvan, and Girvan is just down the road from Trump Towers and all that kind of nonsense, and God, what a sorry wee place that is. You can stay at the car park in the port, and it's all very. I never went in the local. I wanted to go in the local pub because it looked desperate. I wanted to see what it was like, but I went out to walk around the town, and it is very, 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 the centre of town is very, very run down. Very run down. But the only thing that Girvan's got going for it seems to be a decent swimming bass near the quayside. So they've got a decent swimming bass. So that's my kind of world tour of Girvan. It's very interesting though, because Heather's family come from Ayr, and we went to visit her father in Ayr. And Ayr still has that. You go down the main bit of Ayr, and it's packed with cars. It's still not lost its lustre. As kids, we used to go, when nobody had a car, during the summer, your parents would give you a couple, I think it was 70 pence for a ticket to take you to, and we'd all get 70 pence over parents. It was decimal, 70 pence. It was quite expensive. We'd get a ticket, and my parents would send us away there for the day with a couple of pounds in our pocket, and we'd just basically go and get sunburned and play about the rocks and fall out with each other and get back on the bus and get dropped off back when the family used to live in Pollock. So we'd go away like milk bottles. We'd be away like milk bottles as kids. We know a kind of sense of if you're going to go to somewhere that's going to be sunny, take a hat, take some sunscreen, things like that. The idea of sunscreen was... I just think, God, we look back. So we'd go away like milk bottles. We'd look like cadavers that escaped a mortuary, just dressed in clothes. And we'd get there and we'd spend like 12 hours, literally 12 hours, roasting our arses off in the sunshine and air, running in the water, getting the salt on our skins, making it worse. And we'd come home and we'd be bright red. We'd be bright red, burning, absolutely burning, radiation coming off us. And your poor man would go, oh, look at your head, you never come here, look, it's all godly about your neck. And you'd spend the night literally under one sheet on bed because you were covered in calamine lotion, trying to kill the pain of the sunburn. It kind of puts foreign holidays in the shade, doesn't it? Anyway, where are we going? But so, all I can say is, I hope you've enjoyed this ramble about camper vanning in deepest Stranraer, and take care for yourself, okay? And look after yourself. And I'll be back when some other event happens to me. Take care.